Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the Executive Director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. In today's podcast, we're continuing to talk about the public reading of Scripture. Our key sentence for this series: Scripture can come alive for people as time and effort are put into the way it is read publicly. As a significant resource for this series, we've been listening to very relevant Chapel of the Air radio broadcasts from more than 30 years ago. In the last podcast, David and Karen Maines gave some thoughtful suggestions on how to weave spontaneity in the public reading of Scripture into a worship service. Today, we want to focus on taking up the challenge of implementing the suggestions we've been making.
And if I put things into really the large number of podcasts we've made, Dean, we're talking about life-transforming sermons and services. They go together. So, and then usually when we do a sermon, we say to people, you need to know what your subject is. So the subject has been the public reading of Scripture. And what's the response? Well, somebody's going to have to put time and effort into the way Scripture is read publicly. That's what we're saying. It doesn't just happen like that. You don't turn around three times and make a wish. You know, you have to work at it. And the question then is, if people don't know what to do, can we give good examples of the how-to? And I think we've given so many examples that it kind of spins people's minds as to what could be done in this wide gamut that could be extremely helpful. And I hope people are excited, ministers are excited as they're listening to this. But that kind of gives a bigger overview of our overall ministry, okay?
Yes, and today we're talking about those special people that will actually implement these suggestions in a congregation. We're talking about the call of God on people's lives.
Just like a minister receives a call to preach, or a music director a call to work in the area of music, we're talking about people who feel called to work in the area of the public reading of Scripture.
Our key sentence for today: obedient believers lovingly respond when God extends a call to improve the public reading of Scripture in the worship services at their churches. So let's listen to the broadcast, shall we?
This next segment in our series, Down with the Dulls, is entitled, Considering a Call, and it may be just the challenge that some of our listeners are waiting to hear.
For 2 weeks, we have been on kind of a crusade against God's Word being read poorly in our church services. Why is this, Karen?
Well, David, we have become convinced that the medium is kind of the message here, that often there is no forethought, no practice, no effort put into the public reading of Scripture. And this regularly becomes a down point in some of our worship services, to the point where people are tuning out. This has become a dull point in our worship services. And you and I are strongly of the opinion that when we make the presentation of the Word in a dull fashion publicly, we are saying subliminally, this is dull, and people are carrying that over to the private reading of Scripture.
And we want to bring the Scriptures alive in people's private lives as well as in the public services. And we have given all kinds of examples these 2 weeks of how individual readers can bring the Word alive, how two readers together can amplify what they're saying as they do it in concert. We've talked about family readers of the Scripture. We've talked about congregational readings and so on. And I believe, Karen, people have been very interested in what we've been saying, but in the long run, is it going to make any difference, or have we just filled another 2 weeks of broadcasting time?
Well, it wouldn't be worth 2 weeks of broadcasting time if we haven't made a difference. There always has to be someone who picks up the challenge. And what we are hoping to do with this broadcast is to say, is anyone out there? Is anyone out there listening to us who will pick up the challenge, who in their hearts say, hey, I think I could do that? Or more than that, who in their hearts say, hey, that's something I really feel called to do.
That's a good word. We've been working off of this verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul says to Timothy, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, preaching and teaching. Now, we know a lot of people feel called to preach, And we know a lot of people who say, I have a call to teach. But we've run into almost no one who says, I have a call to minister in the public reading of Scripture. And we don't think that should sound so strange. And we're saying maybe you should experience this call as we speak to you during these special programs. Let's see if we can define a word. What is the call that we're talking about?
Well, I think we're talking about those people who sit in a worship service on Sunday morning and who have a deep love of Scripture. And when they hear it done in a mediocre fashion, they say to themselves, oh, that could have been done better. Or there's a very small little burning within them that says, oh, I hear that privately done this way or that way or this way or that way. Or they're the ones who say, oh, I wish they would ask me to do it because I would like to try that. Those are often the ones, the people who have a call to do anything, to apply their abilities and gifts, the private things that they feel and hear, to a public demonstration or a public ministry.
I think it's important to say that calls don't usually come so of one moment you weren't called and the next moment you have been called for the rest of your life. Usually they come in process. So that in the area of preaching, you expose yourself to the possibility of preaching on occasion. And then after you've done it once, you know a whole lot more as to whether or not possibly you have such a call. And we're really asking people to give themselves opportunity to be exposed to what we're talking about. Part of that is going to be just studying what we're saying. Is it all going to rest, Karen, on one person?
No, I think the beauty of this kind of approach is that often we become involved doing something that we feel strongly about, or we become involved in a place where we see a need, or we become involved in a ministry that we love, we have a special love toward. And then all of a sudden we find that there are people with similar instincts, people who feel strongly about the same thing we feel strongly about, or people who say, you did something this way and that triggered an idea, and would you mind if I tried this? And there's a group that forms, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about the public reading of Scripture, particularly as we look back on our experience of 10 years in a church where we were able to really work with these forms. There were many, many people in that congregation who we were able to rely upon and who loved to present the Scripture in the most attractive form that it could possibly be presented in.
We're going to talk about this same topic, a calling to the public reading of Scripture, on Tuesday and Wednesday. So let's do what we've done during the past broadcasts and give illustration of some of the things we're talking about. When you said tapes, we have recorded tapes of some of those services we were participating in from many years back, and I have one in which you had a part. This was a call to worship. It was the use of Scripture, and it takes about 2.5 minutes to listen to it. In the back of the auditorium, two women began to read advertisements from the Chicago Tribune. Now, they were setting up a scripture that was to follow. The scripture would be read by ministers in the front of the church. All told, it's about 2.5 minutes, but very quickly we get into those scriptures coming alive, I believe. Let's just listen and see how it took place.
Now's the time to spruce up your shirt wardrobe for spring. Just imagine finding fine quality long sleeve dress shirts by a famous maker at savings like these. They're fashion styled of easy care polyester cotton with a medium spread, wide spread, and button down collars in a tremendous selection of stripes, plaids, checks of blue, tan, brown, green, red.
Joan Leslie and the lanky sweater set say it all to get you into the spring of things. Sensational feeling nubby knit of denim blue and white. Sizes 6 to 12. Fashion gallery.
All you need is one beautiful drop to know why Estee Lauder was keeping private collection perfume for herself.
For the young achiever, snappy bullwhip twill by Johnny Carson. Johnny's flair for up-to-minute fashion is very evident in this double knit. Contrasting stitching and suede cloth pocket trim highlight the crisp natural color. Baskin, State and Adams also visit our big and tall shops.
The tiny print crepe de chine blouse, the key piece, dotted white on navy, softly tied. For extra prettiness, pin a flower on it. Wrap your waist in a soft crepe de chine scarf. Silk blouse about $160.
Why are you so anxious
perfect tops,
about clothing?
Light and fitting.
Consider
as
the lilies of the field and how they
see,
grow.
Own in every color,
they neither toil
the
nor spin.
Especially to wear
yet I tell you,
silk,
even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Yet, pale as sand,
but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith?
Everything work.
Then one of the elders addressed to me, saying, who are these, clothed in white robes, and whence have they come? And he said to me, these are they who have come out of great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul shall exalt in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels.
Father,
now the pastor who's speaking there began to pray, and we were into the service very quickly. But again, that's about 2.5 minutes, and it was a good use of Scripture.
David, there are obviously a lot of churches that could not take this particular approach. But the beauty of presenting an idea is that it can be used as a stimulus for other ideas. And those of us with the limitations of a more traditional congregation than what we had in the city at that time can take that idea and adapt it to a suitable form for our own congregation. I would like to say one thing about that scripture reading is that those who are listening to it now must have a sense, however, even if you can't particularly use this one, of how quickly we were introduced to the scripture. I mean, there was no lag. You immediately begin to capture the sense of what those scriptures were talking about in a way I don't think would have been possible if we had just gotten up and read them cold.
Let's give some other ideas. We've talked about the memorization of scripture. So instead of reading the scripture, the person can actually memorize it. Let's add to that idea.
I think the element that we can add there is costume. We had a lovely reading from the book of Ruth, and the woman who came down the aisle quoting that scripture was wearing a costume such as a woman in the Middle East during that time might have worn. And it was not overdramatic. It wasn't out of place. In fact, it just helped you ease into the feel of what those scriptures were saying. So that's an idea I think that a lot of places could use.
Very simple idea, Karen, to add again would be to give a quiz and say, now these are questions that you might not be able to answer, but as I read the scriptures, see if you get the answers. For example, next year in our 50-day adventure, in preparation for a study on the life of David, we're going to study Samuel. Say I would read 1 Samuel 12. That's 25 verses or about 25 sentences. This is a transition time. We're leaving the judges to the time of the kings. It's a traumatic time for Samuel. I want you to look for how old you'd picture Samuel to be. I want you to hear how many people he has defrauded during his lifetime. He's going to plead with two parties. See if you can pick out the parties. They don't come right next to each other. They're separated in the text. At Samuel's word, a miracle occurs. Most people don't know about it because it's a very brief section. See if you miss it as I read. Why will God not quickly cast away his people? Listen as the text is read. Now, I'm not going to read it, but those questions set up that text so people will listen.
In other words, what you're saying is that before the public reading of Scripture, the minister or whoever is reading that scripture would say to the congregation, now I want you to keep in your mind these questions and see if you can answer them as I'm reading them.
Exactly.
Now, I think that's an effective technique.
Again, the surprise is as you come up with ideas from all around the congregation, as the ministry of the public reading of the word grows, others will all have ideas that they want to add as well, and hopefully the scriptures will come alive tomorrow. We're going to begin, as we talk about a call to the public reading of scriptures, defining the difference between tree shakers and jelly makers.
The examples in this broadcast, David, certainly illustrate how people called to the public reading of scripture can really enhance a worship service.
It's the same as no two ministers are exactly alike. You know, no two music directors are exactly alike. No two people who work in the area of the public reading of scripture are going to be exactly alike. Aren't we glad that's the case?
Indeed.
Yes, and these calls come to people and say, be a part of what is going to improve the church. The big thing is when you get a call, that's not an obligation. That's a phenomenal privilege from God himself.
We're very glad you joined us for our podcast today. Of course, you found the podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons and services. We invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.